It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
I need to speak with the pharmacist, Mr. Lamb, back there.
Okay, hold on just a moment.
Thank you.
This is Randy.
Is this a pharmacist?
Yes, it is.
Listen, this here is Roy D. Mercer. I was in there the other day, and my boy Raymond has come down with tick fever.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, I was in there. He's about to get over that fever, but we was in there and had to buy a thermometer the other day.
Uh-huh.
And we're supposed to get us a rectal thermometer. And I guess it may have been one and just faulty, but we got her up in there and it broke off up in there. That's what happened. The damn thermometer broke off up in there.
Did it cut it?
Well, it done it a little bit. We had to take him down to the emergency room to get that thing took out of there. And I don't know whether I got me an oral thermometer and it's supposed to have been rectal or whether it's just a bad thermometer.
Well, you can use the same thermometer in either oral or rectal. Yeah. The only difference is on the scale where they show the rectal temperature is different from the oral temperature.
Well, I tell you, my temperature is pretty hot right now. As we had to take him to the emergency room to get that thermometer, what broke off, took out of there.
Uh-huh.
And I got me some doctor bills to get took care of. I need about $175. It's about $150 for the doctor. And then I got $25 worth of medicine and an inflatable donut that he's having to sit on right now.
Man, that's terrible.
So when can I come down there to get that $175?
Because they're
wanting some of the money right now.
You probably need to talk to the owner.
Well, by God, I believe you was the one that sold it to me. It was in there. And a tall, lanky feller.
What day was it?
Well, it's just seemed like it was about 2 or 3 days ago. He'd been so sick, I don't know. Could have been first of the week, I think.
I don't remember selling you a thermometer.
I don't know. 175 is what it's going to take. Or there might just be somebody get the damned ass whooped. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You know, if you want to talk to the owner, I can give you his phone number.
No, I'm talking to you, and I'm getting some satisfaction, and I'm coming down there and doing some house cleaning here in a little bit. As I guarantee you, he might have had that thermometer broke up in there, but I'm not too sure which one of us has the worst case of the red ass right now. And I'm pretty upset about it.
Well, I can understand. I would be, too.
Well, by God, then I'll come down there and see you get $175 out of you, or I'm whooping your ass.
Well, you'll just have to go to jail.
I ain't going to jail. I got me a boy that bought a thermometer down there on good faith. And is defective. And he cut up pretty bad and hurt. You going to be there all day?
I'll be here all day.
Well, how big an old boy are you?
I weigh about 200 pounds.
And don't scare me now.
Well, I'm not trying to scare you.
Well, you going to be there all day?
I'll be here all day.
You ever had your ass whooped over or something like that?
Well, I don't understand exactly what happened.
Well, his mama was putting it in there, and he kind of flinched, and it broke off. And I ain't too sure he ain't got some mercury poisoning, too.
Well, I'm not the one that put it in there.
Well, by God, I know enough about a thermometer to use a damn thing. It ain't the first time we've done that. Is the first time y'all ever had that happen?
It's the first time I've ever heard of it happening.
Is that right?
Well, you understand, I feel sorry for him.
That's good.
I wish I could have been there and done it, and maybe it wouldn't have happened.
Listen, do you know some chubby feller up in Tulsa named Brent?
Is this Brent? You sorry SOB. Is this you?
Yes. How you doing, Randy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Sorry, son of a...
Why don't them thermometers come with instructions?
Oh, Randy, breathe a sigh of relief now.
I bet I'm red as a beet right now.
You're not going to get your ass whooped after all.
I was just talking to somebody the other day about you.
Oh, my God.
She's on the news.
She's on the news.
An anchor woman.
She doing a story about bad thermometers?
Bad thermometers.
It's a startling expose.
All right. Excuse me. This is Craig with the Compo Outdoor Show, or with the Outdoor Show. This is that was R.D. Mercer. Apologize, I got a little bit of a head cold today, but it's all good. If I don't know how people fall for that, but it's that's kind of fun. I still have plans of doing my own version of that. We did when 20 years ago. We made a few episodes. I wish I still had them. We called it Radio Roadkill, and I called businesses in Anchorage actually, so I didn't offend local businesses. We had some good ones, though. I'll have to go back and look that up. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. My name is Craig Compo, and I'm coming to you live from the Purple Room in 529 Fifth Avenue. Wanted to go over a few things today. I've had a couple of good trips here in the last since we last visited. Took the family down, the grandkids, and took Abby and the grandkids and my son-in-law down to Kenai for a fly-in trip, which I do annually. I love it down there, to Crescent Lake. We don't always go to Crescent Lake, but it's one of my favorite places, and it was unbelievable this year. The weather was perfect. It was blue sky, probably 70 degrees. Just beautiful. If you haven't done that trip where you fly across the inlet, it's not that expensive. It's a wonderful experience. There's a couple of really good outfitters that will take in. There's the one I usually always go with, Alaska West Air, which is Doug Brewer. He owns that company. You can see it online. You can see some of the places they go. They go to Big River Lakes or Wolverine Lake. They have two different names for it. They go to Custatan. They go across the inlet. You can go clamming when the tide is right. That's a tougher one. I keep wanting to say Chignik, Chinitna Bay. I want to go do that again. Clamming, razor clamming. Oh my gosh, we harvested five 5 gallon pails of cleaned razor clams 1 year. Bears everywhere. It's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I got some my grandkids, are the two that went, are 9 and 8, or yeah, 9 and 8, Sydney and Stella, and they just had a wonderful time. Watching the bears, just you could almost reach out and touch them from the boat. They caught Dolly Varden. They caught trout. They caught salmon. We're running in there. There's an inlet, of course. Lake goes through stream, and it's just beautiful. Anyway, that was a wonderful trip, and then we spent a couple extra days in Kenai, and just a wonderful time. Fantastic weather. Stayed with Abby's folks. It was pretty neat. Anyway, that was one trip, and then this last weekend I went up the good pasture to fix some bear damage. We have it's got to be a black bear that keeps getting it. Not keeps, been in twice. Into our hunting camp, which is up on a platform about 5 feet in the air. And we could not figure, because we have a ramp with 300 screws sticking through it so that he doesn't walk up the ramp. We could not figure out how he's getting in there. What he's doing is shimmying up a spruce tree that's about 3 feet away from the platform and then leaping over onto the deck and then pushing the door in and tearing it up. Didn't make too much damage this year. He was up there, or a bear, probably another black, was up there a couple years ago and got into it's a fiberglass igloo called an inter-shelter, a big dome that we have our camp in. We've got bunks and oil drip stove and a little bar and shelving and stuff in there. But he actually got in that time. I didn't go up for the damage. A buddy of mine, Scott, was up there. And he basically, the bear pushed the door in, and then rather than going back out the door he came in, he literally pushed that igloo until it came hung over the edge of the platform. We have it on the 24 by 24 platform, and then hopped out onto the ground. And he tore it up pretty good. I mean, he made a mess, a real mess. This one, not so bad. What's really bizarre, there was only one thing that was missing, and we found out in the woods later. I had a bucket. It was $220 worth of tannerite. It's got the tannerite powders in this big, like, 3-gallon bucket I had bought down at Lask Ammo last year, and we had it up there just for something to do when we're bored. But he drug that thing out in the woods, bit into it. Why he had an interest in tannerite is beyond me. The last bear that got in bit into all my – I had a couple boxes of red wine up there and bit into those, and you could – and spilled it on the floor, and I could see his paw prints on her mattresses, red paw prints. So it must have been a hams bear, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, that was interesting. It's always interesting, and I'm really disappointed because I was sure I put a – SD card in my game cam up there, and I was so excited when I got there. I brought up a laptop so I could watch how that bear got in this time, but I'm sure he's shimmying up the tree. So what we did is I took up a big sheet, 4x8 sheet of UHMW. It was a scrap sheet we had. It wasn't a full sheet, but close to it, 3/8 thick, and that ultra high molecular weight material, UHMW. It's what they use on our bottom of our boats, on dog sleds, and some people call it Teflon, but anyway, we wrapped it around this tree rather than cut the tree down, so the bear can't climb up the tree. There's no way he can climb now with that UHMW on there, and we got it so tight it can't peel it off. So it was either take the tree down, which I didn't want to do, just provide some nice cover, or prevent him from getting up the tree, so we chose the latter. Anyway, that's kind of what the last couple of weeks have brought. Getting ready to go hunting, doing an early moose hunt for residents only. I'll report back on that. Hoping the caribou start showing up on the good pasture, but not too many of them there. I know they closed the hunt for a while because they were all on the road up there, and it would just quota would disappear in an hour. So they waiting for those boo to move around. You know, the caribou are kind of a crazy animal. A buddy of mine always said that, you know, there's when it relates to caribou, there's not a whole lot worse than being stupid and delicious. A caribou can be some silly animals. I mean, you make noise and they come running at you like, "Ooh, hey, what's that thing you're pointing at me? Let me take a closer look. Let me come." Moose aren't like that. Moose have a little bit of brains. Caribou are just, a dingy, especially if they've never seen a human before. They're curious, right? Sometimes we were sitting there one time up on the upper good pasture, and you'd wave a paper plate, take a paper plate and wave it, and they'd look over and they'd start walking across the river right towards you. Like, what's that? You know? Of course, none of those were ones we wanted to shoot. They weren't that big, but it was fun. We videoed them just walking right over by the boat. They're standing in the middle of the river about 6-10 feet away from us, and they're just kind of turning their head sideways like a dog. But yeah, not the sharpest animal there is. So anyway, that's the one thing we did. We're going to have some fun, and this back half of the show, I want to talk a little bit about, I'm interested in the mining industry all the time. I talk about industry. I'm obviously retired from the business, but I have a keen interest in business. I like Alaskan businesses. There's a unique set of challenges. There's the mining industry. I want to talk a little bit about some rare earth materials. And things like that. It just interests me. I'm into the medical profession. I like to stay on top of companies that are doing cutting edge stuff. When I was real young, I had I wrote a letter called The Cutting Edge, and it was all about new innovations. And it's just always intrigued me to watch how those things develop or fail. They can do both. But we'll check that out after the break. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back, and we'll talk some rare earth metals. So stick around.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed: Compos' passion for getting you outdoors. and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right, and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly, and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, Fairbanks, welcome back. Well, we were talking about the good pastor, the bear getting in the first half hour and our wonderful trip to Kenai. It was fantastic. It was Abby and I and two of my granddaughters and my son-in-law. Oh, yeah, there was a downside. Satterberg went along with us. Bill Satterberg joined us. we had an extra seat. And I don't know, I must have been drunk when I invited him. I don't know. But I invited him, and he's an interesting character. He had fun there, but boy, that guy cannot catch a fish. I tell you, we went fishing on the second day. We were on the Kenai River, and we were standing there. We got up at 4:30 in the morning, and of course, it was still dark. The boat had lights on. He just took us across the river. Lynn Keough, kudos to Lynn Keough, great guy. But he took us across the river. We had the grandkids, the two granddaughters, and Abby, and they sat in the boat because it was chilly. It was about 40 degrees, but we were out there in the dark fishing, and Bill could not catch a fish. Derry and I limited out right away, and he was 2-3 hours before he caught his first fish, and by then we were all done limiting out, so it was time to go. So that was a That was fun. Yeah, don't ever rely on Satterberg if you're stuck in the woods and just have nothing but a fishing pole. Don't let him fish. So, anyway, we're going to change gears a little bit. I wanted to talk about something that I find interesting, and it's something not a lot of people know about, myself included. I didn't know anything about. It's a rare earth element, and we had a show about rare earth materials, but this is called rhenium. I'd never heard of it before. It's a rare earth metal. It's got the highest melting point of all metals, except for a couple of them, tungsten and carbon, I think. And you know, if you watch the news recently, we're trying to get more rare earth metals out of our country because we're buying everything from China, and they don't have our best interests in mind. But this rhenium is used in a lot of critical components, jet engine turbines, things like that. And we're having to buy almost all of it. But we have, in Alaska, we have a surplus of it. We just haven't been able to get our hands on it over the years because of some of these just environmental pushback and everything. And so what we're doing is we're buying it from our enemies, and they're at a point now where they could tell us, you know what, we're not going to sell it to you, and then we're really in trouble. Rhenium, though, is one of the rarest elements in the Earth's crust. I think it's an average concentration, they say, about one part per billion. But we have a ton of it. It's just like a lot of other good materials we have here. And, of course, I'm a big proponent of if we can develop these safely, environmentally safely, like we do way more than any other country, We need to start getting these out of this country, and Alaska is the answer. There's other states, you know, Wyoming has got a lot of rare earth metals, Montana, Arizona. There's a lot of, I think Nevada got a lot of good materials, but we've just been, for the first 150 years as a country, we took care of all this ourselves, but with technology changing, just AI and all these advancements in transportation and everything, we're having to buy this stuff from across the country. Anyway, that's a pet peeve of mine. I wish we could do better about that, and hopefully we'll see if that happens, because China's still going to control a majority of the global rare earth metals. But I've had a lot of we've talked about this on the earlier shows. We need to do more like that. We got to do more stuff, develop our own resources. Kind of like Alaska. I was just watching the news this morning. There is a company. There's only one lumber mill left, I think, in Alaska, one or two. And there's a company. It was on the national news. They interviewed a guy named Kurt Dahlster, who's the owner of Viking Lumber. And this is the last lumber company in the world. They make the wood for Steinway pianos. And if it's the last one that makes the wood for these pianos. So if this lumber mill shuts down, Steinway shuts down. Same with Gibson guitars. They make wood for Gibson guitars. They make wood for wind tunnels. And they also make stuff for the U.S. military. So it's really critical. Here we have this. They interviewed this owner of this company. And he explained that 94% of the land in Southeast Alaska is owned by the federal government. And of course it's controlled by the U.S. Forest Service, which is controlled by a lot of, environmental groups kind of, dictating a lot of their policy. So what happened in 2016, the Forest Service, came out with their land management plan. I think it was called the Tongass Land Management Plan. And they promised to produce or to a permit for production of 46 million board feet of lumber, which is huge down in Southeast because there's so much lumber, and in a lot of areas of the country, you're watching like spruce beetles and everything else just destroy this wood. It becomes nothing but fence post material after that. We can't use it for anything else. After that 2016 promise, the Forest Service did almost no significant timber sales. They're in charge of timber sales, so companies can come in and bid on it and develop timber. They've got to adhere to some really, really strict environmental regulations and reclamation of the ground and all that stuff, trees. But after that promise, almost 10 years ago, they basically haven't had any timber sales. This company, Viking Lumber, was the last company in 2015 to purchased any significant timber property. So anyway, so what they're doing now is the Pacific Legal Foundation is actually suing the federal government on behalf of Viking to try to get that 2016 ruling activated again. But again, we've got so many resources here and we're just watching a lot of it go to waste. We are trying to develop it responsibly. Obviously, the companies that don't are going to get fined bad or kicked out or whatever, but there's so much opportunity here, and it means jobs. And right now, a lot of this, our population, is getting older. We're all getting older, and the young people are thinking, maybe we'll move away. Maybe we'll go outside. So we're going to lose a lot of our population base, and we're going to have a lot of changes that are I think detrimental to the state economy, to family life. I'm old school. I grew up here. I was born in 1960 in Alaska. I remember, and I've told this story before, I was hunting. I always hunted with my dad from a really early age up on like the Good Pasture River. I'd go with him. And I remember when I was about 13, he showed me a picture, an aerial shot of deer hunters in Wisconsin. You could see all these deer stands, and you could probably see 30 of them from this aerial shot in this huge meadow or field area in the woods, and everyone had orange vests on. And my dad showed it to me, I think, to get me to ask the question. I said, "Dad, why do they all wear the same color outfit?" I didn't even I couldn't grasp the concept. It was a safety issue because I grew up hunting where we were 20 or 30 miles from another human being. And he kind of said, he kind of indicated, you know, you're kind of spoiled, son, because not everybody has that much real estate around them. You know, not everybody has the luxury of that kind of space. Even when I went fishing in Kenai, when we were fishing there, 4:30 in the morning, we were the first ones on this little island. And before it got light, there was 20 people on the island, on this little gravel bar, fishing. You know, you had to make sure you had enough space between you so you weren't snagging anybody with a hook. But it was so foreign to me, and I know, and that's nothing. I mean, you go over the Russian River and whatever, and they're literally shoulder to shoulder. People are tangled up. People are yelling at each other. To me, that isn't hunting and fishing. Part of hunting and fishing is the serenity, the peace, the quietness, the remoteness. You know, obviously you want to be with friends or family, but there's a, it's a whole different world. And I've had so many people invite me to go hunting out in the States, and I go, yeah, my buddy's got a farm we can hunt on. And it's just fenced. I said, that isn't hunting. I'm sorry. I can't hunt where the animal can't get away. It just, to me, that takes a sport out of it. You know, obviously we hunt to harvest the animal. We like the healthy meat, all that stuff. But at the same time, I mean, chasing an animal to a corner of a fence to me just seems, it's not hunting. Anyway, I get off my soapbox for a minute, but that's what it's all about. I am getting ready to go hunting. My really good friend and hunting partner, Kenny Broker, is coming to town. Kenny grew up in Tok. He lives in Hawaii now. We're going to do some hunting in August and September. I usually mentally check out from the 15th of August to the 15th of September. And it's my therapy for the year. I like to get out in the woods. Even last year, first year in 30 years, we didn't get a moose. It was still therapy. It's just so, it feels so good to get out in the woods and just be amongst friends and relax and do a couple of projects at the camp. And, you know, yeah, we saw a moose. We didn't have a good shot at it. We didn't take a shot. And that's, you know, that's hunting. Hunting is never a guarantee. But fortunately, we had some protein left over from the year before in the freezer, and I'm about out now, so we're going to work it real hard this year. Kenny and I, I've told this story before, and I know they don't keep this as an official record anywhere, but we got a moose, Kenny and I, hunting. We hunted the Tok River for many years, and then we moved over to the Good Pasture River. We got a moose on opening day 14 years in a row, which is outstanding. And we didn't do it on purpose, but we work it hard. So on day one, for about 7 or 8 years, we realized, shoot, we got a moose on day one. It takes the pressure off because then you can just relax in camp. You know, you get your meat hung and whatever. But after about 7 or 8 years, you go, you know, we got to keep this thing alive. We got to see how long we can do it. And for 14 years, we got a moose on September 1st. And I don't, maybe back in the 30s or 40s, somebody did that. But I don't think they were under any pressure. We just kind of made it a challenge because we want to see how long we could keep it going. But anyway, Kenny's coming up. We're going to hunt. We're going to do a little hunting on the Tok River. We're going to go up the Good Pasture, hope the caribou show up. They've been kind of scattered, not a whole bunch of them up there, although that area, region two, is usually never closes because it's harder to get to. That's the upper, that's the Good Pasture and Salcha River drainages. So hopefully we'll get some game this year. And if not, we'll maybe drink some beer and do some fishing and just relax. That's kind of what we do. Anyway, let's see. We are heading into the meat of the season. So if you haven't got your, like for caribou, your RC-860 permit, make sure you get that. Make sure you check the game book regs. Go over to Century Hardware. Great guys over there. Go over there and pick up a new game book. Make sure, because it changes year to year. It's really amazing. Make sure you know, you can, like in certain areas, I mean, it's bull only if you're a resident, bull only if you're non-resident for caribou. Something, you know, it bounces around depending on population. Some years it's you could get a bull or a cow. I've never shot a cow, anything. I've always just tried to get the bull. It just seems to me, the ones that make the babies, you want to let them make the babies. Anyway, it is, the Compo Outdoor Show. I want to thank you for tuning in. Stick around next week. Got a special guest, and we're going to have some fun with that. So stay safe out there. Keep your rifle. Don't chamber up. Don't do anything stupid Well, you got people around you. Make sure you you play by all the rules and no accidents out there. Wear your life jackets and be safe. This is Craig from The Outdoor Show. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.